PCA tomorrow. All right, I'll do that again. All right, I'm going to call this special meeting of WPCA to order at 6:31, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to
and
the
to the
Republic
Republic for which it
which
stands,
stands, one
one
nation,
nation,
under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible, with liberty
free,
and justice for all.
for all.
Okay, for the roll call, let me state that members of the committee are all here except for Robert Miani, who will not be joining us tonight. At least I don't expect to. Public portion. Well, let me also say we've got some invited guests here today. Our corporation counsel, Rich Petrillo, is with us. Matt, I'm assuming you're with the Cirillo firm?
Yes, I'm with Bertram Moses as well.
Okay. Our city finance director, Brian Hall, I expect to be here, and Anna Legassi, who's the new tax collector, should be.
Brian's on the call.
What?
Yeah, I'm on here, Jack. And
oh, okay, I didn't see you. I didn't see you.
And Anna is going to try to make it. I know she said she had a commitment with her daughter, but you know, I'll certainly relay back, but I need to her tomorrow.
Right. She said she would try to get here if she could. So. And let me just explain. Wanted to get this together because a lot of things have changed. First of all, we don't have staff, WPCA staff, in the office any longer, at least not staff that handle this kind of thing. We've got a new finance director, we have a new tax collector, and we have new city administration along with a new corporation counsel. And I'll be honest with you, as an authority, we didn't normally deal with all this, okay? Our office staff dealt with it, and occasionally an issue might come before us, but not very often until recently one did come before us that we can talk about. But, you know, I wanted to get together to find out what is the process here, who does what, when do they do it, how do they do it, because I don't think any of us on the authority have a full understanding of that anymore. And, you know, I put some documents together. Jim, you were good enough to send me your report. Rich, I got some report from you today. Brian, you've been working on it, and the tax collector's been working on it. But basically, we all have to get on the same page and understand how this is going to work. Now I'm going to backtrack because I do see at least one member of the public. So I'm going to ask if there's, other than the people who have already introduced who will be part of this discussion, is there anyone from the public who would like to speak before the meeting? Second time, anyone from the public who would like to speak? Tom, don't disappoint me here. Third and final time, does anyone from the public wish to speak?
I'm sorry, Jack. I have nothing.
Okay. All right. That's okay. I just want to make sure you had a chance. All right. With that, I'd ask for a motion to close the public portion of the meeting.
So moved, Charlie Sampson.
Okay. Sure. Harris, second by Kelly. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? I'm saying public portion is closed. So with that, let's get on to discussion of the collection process. And Rich, I think I'm going to put you on the spot first. Okay.
I'm happy to do it.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, there's a legal part of this that we have to understand. So maybe from your perspective, if you could walk us through that, and then I'll get to the other people.
Well, I'll start with the following. It was Attorney Marino's firm, Vin turned over 26 files. That's the list that we prepared and that I forwarded on to you. This is the list of open files that came to us through Attorney Marino. I have since learned that Attorney Cirillo has been handling a bunch of files, and I saw that list. And well, I can appreciate that, and I'm sure he's been doing it for a long time. I have no desire to take away any of Attorney Cirillo's files. You know, if you folks are pleased, he can just continue on working those files. However, I did want to state for the record that there's one corporation counsel for the city of Derby, and that's our office. And the way it works is the Corporation Council represents all agencies, boards, and commissions of the City of Derby, one of which is the Water Pollution Control Authority. And in fact, the only time we do not represent the boards and commissions, et cetera, for the City of Derby as Corporation Council is if in the first instance we decide, and Charlie will remember this, we decide there's a conflict, and then it's the mayor who selects who the outside council is who comes in to do the work. So I wanted to lay that as ground rules. That's in the city code. That's 32-54 of the code of the City of Derby. Now that's the law on how it works in terms of who's going to represent this board and commission. One of the things from a priority standpoint that we're doing, our firm, is we're trying to get our arms around all of the different types of foreclosures for the city. And I'll tell you where I'm going with this. It became apparent to me shortly after we came into this administration, shortly after we got involved, there was a situation involving a foreclosure. A taxpayer showed up in City Hall, and he thought that he couldn't figure out why he was getting dunned, if you will, from the tax office for back taxes because he bought a piece of property through a foreclosure. It turned out that foreclosure did indeed, it was finished, it was completed, it was sold by the court. That individual was the successful bidder, and he acquired that particular piece of property for, I believe the sum was, don't hold me to the exact, $7,000 or $7,500. What it was a long pending WPCA foreclosure. Now, one of the things we're going to try to do is when we see, we're going to try to combine these things because no one foreclosed the city tax liens. So, which were six figures on that particular piece from what I recall. So it's sort of the tail wagging the dog here. And what we're trying to do right now is to take the blight liens, most of which probably have back taxes, many of which, or at least some of which have WPCA liens on them. And we would bring a foreclosure in that instance on behalf of all three. That's the first thing I'd say. The second thing I'll talk about, and I'll kick this to Brian, this administration has been talking about the financial challenges of the City of Derby right now are public. There's been a great deal of work done on it. You all have been around for a long time, the members of this board, you understand the challenges the city is facing. And one of those is to maximize revenue as quickly as possible. So the administration is actively considering, and I'll let Brian speak to it more, perhaps going out with bulk sales on WPCA liens, on tax liens, those sorts of things, and to try to maximize the revenue that comes in and also to cut the collection time down significantly. It does seem to take a long time to get a foreclosure through Connecticut Superior Court right now. And for the most part, people have been bidding pretty much par or better on those tax lien sales when those happen. I know Derby has some experience, some limited experience doing one not too long ago, but that's something the city is considering. So that would also change perhaps the collection process. So I just wanted to put that on the table so you can see some of the thoughts. And what that's about is maximizing revenue in as short a time as possible. And I'll let Brian speak. I've said enough on that. But I've given you what the law is in terms of how the files will be handled through our office. And I'm fine with Attorney Cirillo keeping those that are shown on this list, but and I'll defer to the finance director, who I know has been considering the prospect of bulk lien sales.
So, all right, can I backtrack just a bit before that, before Brian comes on, and give him a little bit of history that you alluded to there as well? Yeah. Okay. You know, having been on the authority now for 7 or 8 years, as I mentioned, we really did not get involved in this, okay? And I'm trying to understand the process. But basically, we would get a report. Let me show you.
This I report, saw that. Yeah, Jack.
Okay, which, you know, that was our guide to see if we were on track for collecting or not. This does not contain the individuals, okay? That only shows the total, but it gives you a pretty good idea of where you stand at any given point in time. And actually, it goes back. This is an old one. It's not a recent one. In fact, we're not getting this one. Brian is working on a newer report because this is from the old system. But it, you know, it gave us a pretty good idea on our collections. However, we didn't deal with the individuals. So again, I'm trying to understand it as to who actually started the process on this. Evidently, it was Marcy, okay? But what report did Marcy get, and when did she have to act on them? And then, Jim, I'll ask you for a little bit of help here, too, because, you know, you've given us a report. I'd like to know how you worked with Marcy on this. And I understand there are a couple of other attorneys in the Valley that also did some collections. So maybe, Jim, you could just enlighten us a little bit. And I really want to thank you for sending us the report. And again, you were very detailed. And you might want to talk about this a little bit. These are active accounts. And then you also gave us a history of this. And maybe you could talk a little bit about this as well, how you work the collections. Because part of this was started when all of a sudden last year in November and December, we got a $27,000 bill for legal services related to this, which we knew nothing about. And I think that happened. I'm not positive. But I think that happened because a few years ago, the city did do a tax sale, okay? And at the time, we were told by the corporation counsel that we were second in line for any collection, so it didn't make sense for us to be doing this on our own. So they packaged our rates with the city's taxes, and obviously, you know, these were the ones that were most likely to be collected. Then they packaged them and sold them because just as now, there was a financial crush and they needed immediate cash. And after that, I think, you know, Vince Marino's firm, I think, kept doing all the collections, but I'm not sure of that. I don't know. So
first, Jack, if I may, I agree with if you're doing a bulk sale of the tax liens, then it makes sense to sell the WPCA liens
right on
the same property. I agree completely with Attorney Marino on that. Secondly,
and we did vote for that. We did vote for that.
Yeah. And secondly, on the whether he was handling all the files or proved any other outside counsel along with the mayor, I can't tell you. All I can tell you is there were 26 files. You have the list. That's all we have.
Okay. So you... The ones that I've shown on the screen, you also have. I didn't compare this to yours because I just got yours.
Well, these are Jim's. Jim's are not reflected in Vinny's files that were turned over. This was a complete mystery, if you will, to me. I didn't know anything about these files or that Jim had them. I was operating under the assumption that all of the files were coming through from Attorney Marino. It was only later I learned about these.
Okay. And Jim, maybe you could shed some light on this because in all honesty, I think this is the process that was being followed until that tax sale. And I think you and others may have been part of the way it was done. So Mr. Jim, can you clarify for me?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
It's Mark Carfalo, town clerk. I just want to clarify one thing.
Yeah,
it's just a nuance, but you're using the term tax sale. which is statutorily different than selling the tax liens.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's fine. All right. So we'll correct it. We're talking about selling tax liens.
I'm not trying to nitpick. I'm only trying to say that because we have, prior to Attorney Marino taking over, there were two tax sales. Those are conducted by the tax collector. That we've had two or three, I don't know, it was a little blurry, but the sale of tax liens in the last few years, that are sale of tax liens is different than a tax sale.
Okay.
Because the tax sale, your WPCA products were part of that as well.
Oh, I know that. I know that. And once they were done, the city already collected the money, so they were off the city's books, I would assume, as well. Correct?
Well, it depends if they were redeemed or whatever. That was a different process, but it just so that it's you're talking about the sale of the tax liens. That's all.
Well, and to Mark's point, a sale of tax liens for the WPCA is a statutory procedure under 7-258 of the Connecticut General Statutes. There are other procedures that are utilized to collect, such as a foreclosure. And then there's also what Mark is referring to is the tax sale process, where the tax collector issues a tax warrant. In many cases, they used to turn them over to marshals. The marshals does a deed sale, if you will, and the money's paid in for a period of time and held in the escrow to see if the property owner will redeem. That's what Mark's talking about. So there's three different methods. I'll defer to the finance director, but this is about doing a tax lien sale to the extent that the city decides to go forward with a tax lien sale sometime in the next 6 months. Then most likely all the WPCA liens that are subordinate would be packaged up because it wouldn't make sense to have a batch of foreclosures for the WPCA, you know, with taxes prior and right to somebody who bought them.
Okay. All right. Now, Jim, I'm going to go to you and ask you to give your perspective on how this has worked out through the years. And you have to unmute yourself. You're still muted, Jim.
Hit the space bar if you're gonna. It is one way to do it.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes,
there he is.
I just woke up from my nap, so you have to excuse me. I'm a little dopey here. About 10 years ago, when Joe Coppola was a town attorney, I knew him, and we had done litigation files together. He asked me if I'd be interested in working for the WPCA. I'm a Derby boy, born and raised in the Valley. My parents ran that bowling alley, Ansmore Lanes, over in Tri-Town Plaza. And I said, sure. And we had reached an agreement, and I was dealing with Marcy. She was forwarding matters to me, usually 10 or 12 at a time. She would follow what my progress was. I think we had agreed on a $150 per hour rate for sending out demand letters. And then we would, if there were to be a payment plan, the homeowner would propose it. We would forward it off to Marcy for her consideration. Sometimes it was accepted, sometimes it wasn't. After a period of time and during the size of the lien, Marcy would instruct us to commence a foreclosure action or just wait or sit or continue with the dunning process and try and collect as much as you can. Now, that stayed that way until probably within the last year or so. And each time there was a new administration, I'd say to Marcy, well, do I have to concern myself? Do I have to answer to someone else? And she indicated to me that she was pretty much self-autonomous, and she was the one who was dictating and deciding what would be the case. And while I'm here, I'll blow my horn for a second. You'll see one of the breakdowns I gave to you was, I think we collected in the course of 10 years about $745,000 for the city. And that was no expense to the city because the homeowner was responsible for the cost of collection, the entry fees, the attorney's fees. So that was all monies collected and given to the town. We do have others that we've been working on, but since no one has given us specific instructions, I never had the authority to decide Am I going to start a foreclosure? Am I going to do this? Am I going to sin at it? Whatever. And when I talked to Jack a while back, he suggested I give you a breakdown of what I've done over the course of this 10 years. And that's what I presented this evening. I think in only one instance, and we ultimately were paid almost $28,000, there was a foreclosure that continued on for many years. There were motions to reopen, motions to extend, possible sales. We eventually got that matter disposed, and I think I dispersed 4 or 5 months ago, and then I was asked for a breakdown of the dispersion, which I provided to, I can't remember who it was. Marcy wasn't there at the time, so I can't remember who it was who asked for it, but that's the way it's been done now, and that's the way it's been handled, and I'm more than capable and more than willing to continue on however you gentlemen see might be appropriate if, in fact, you want to continue with my services.
All right, I have two questions for you, Jim. And of course, Jim and I are classmates.
Yes, sir.
We won't say how long ago that was, but
I think it was, Jack, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, maybe, in my mind, right. Anyway.
Yeah, that's about right. But I have two questions based on that. First, I did hear you say that the then corporation counsel was involved in the decision to work with you. Is that correct?
He's the one who hired me, Joe Coppola. And as I said, I'm going back 10 years or so. And then I was introduced to Marcy, and I worked with Marcy over the course of the 10 years and never really got involved directly with Joe Coppola, other than if there was an issue Marcy wanted to be discussed with the town attorney. But that was very few and far between.
Okay, so now my next question goes back to you, Rich. From what I heard before, you're basically saying that is the process that would have to be followed again now. For any attorney except for you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. That's the, there's one corporation counsel for the city, and Mr. Coppola chose attorney Cirillo. By all accounts, he's doing a fine job with these, but there is one corporation counsel.
All right, so if we wanted to continue or not, well, continue or use anchor, what would happen?
I have no problem with Attorney Cirillo working on those files. New files are, I want to take a look at first. I'll decide whether they should go elsewhere.
Okay. Now, let me also, because now we're getting to what I was trying to get after. How does this process work? And Jim, I heard you talk about Marcy and payment schedules.
Yes. Okay. And the homeowner would make a proposal, and I always insisted that it be in writing. So, for example, if there were a $2,000 sewer lien and they wanted to pay $400 a month, I would ask them to put it in writing to my office. I, in turn, would forward it to Marcy for her review and her decision as to whether she wanted to accept it. She wanted me to start a foreclosure. She wanted me to negotiate for more money or a shorter period of time. And that's how that process just continued.
Okay.
Until Marcy left the position, obviously.
Right, that change, and obviously we didn't know how this was working. That's why I'm trying to get this straightened out at this point in time. I had another question, and I've lost it.
That's because you're older than I am, Jack. That's why you're losing things.
No, I'm doing too many WPCA things. That's where I'm losing my mind.
That's supposed to be my job.
Yeah. Well, you're right. You know, I'm trying to get it back to that. You know, I don't think these things belong with the authority. We set the policy. We don't get involved in the day-to-day activity, and I don't want to get involved in day-to-day activity. But I need to understand this so another $27,000 bill doesn't show up someday.
Now, that wasn't my bill. Let's make it clear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, this does raise the issue, Rich. If you were doing this, I see the way Attorney Cirillo is doing is he collects the fees directly from you know the person owing them. How would that work with you? Because obviously with Vince, we got billed separately.
The court approves the fees. The court approves the fees at the end of the matter. Along the way, we would bill hourly. That's what our engagement is with the city, probably just like Attorney Marino.
Okay, and our problem was we never saw any of that. until the $27,000 showed up at once.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, and you've been referring to that, Jack. It could be, it sounds like a single bill, and it might have something to do, I think you said, with the lien sale.
No, that bill came when there was a change of administration.
I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
So I can't speak to it.
And we did pay it because it was a breakdown, and it was related to individual collections. And some of them were still outstanding for you, but, you know, we had to pay $27,000 for that. So I'm trying to avoid getting into that situation again.
So those fees would have been and should have been included in any payoffs or any foreclosure matters and approved by the court, or at least most, if not all.
I think we
thought maybe, John, what happened was all the work that was in flight, because a lot of those matters were not resolved, and then they lost all of the ability to potentially, you know, litigate and finalize those. They just said, okay, well, here's all the work we've done today. You owe us for this now, because we're not going to get this any other way. But I'm not exactly familiar. I just know it was a bill related to many, it wasn't even more many months. I think it was many years of activity.
It was.
Right? Yeah.
It was.
Well, I haven't seen the bill, but if you're talking about a $27,000 bill over many years related to this activity, it sounds pretty reasonable, actually.
Well, may I, Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Sorry. Unfortunately, I've been an observer of the past couple of years of this, and there was a dramatic change in the last year or 18 months prior to the change in administration, because all of this stuff we're talking about happened prior to the change of the administration. And some of it corresponded with Marcy's departure, but some of it started way before that. The only reason why I can tell you that the change, which was kind of strange based on the 10 years that I've been here, there was a dramatic change in the number of list pendants. So that's lawsuits that the city filed against people, not for taxes, but for WPCA. It was an abnormal amount. It was an outside of the ordinary amount of specific lawsuits, not just collection. It was like there was definitely like a churning. It looked like this was like they were starting a whole bunch of cases or foreclosures in the court that were done by the Corporation Counsel, not by Mr. Cirillo. So that was just an abnormal thing that just started happening. And, you know, maybe Marcy could shed more light as to how or why that happened, but I don't know that that was at her direction.
Well, Brian,
it's not typical. And I believe most of those bills were paid prior to the change of the administration. Brian could probably confirm that.
Well, I was just going to say, Brian, you have the record of those bills, because they were paid. They were paid in one lump sum. I think they were paid in December, though. Because I think the bill came in November, right after the election. And we didn't act on it at first. We wanted to know a little bit more. And then when we got the breakout, I think that's when we approved it. But Brian, you would have those bills, right?
Yeah, I have the copy of the bills. But, you know, I recollect this from when I first joined this topic coming up. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, it was literally like my first week, and, you know, Nancy had said, yeah, you know, we got a lot of these historical bills, ran it by yourself, Jack, and it seemed legitimate, right? It didn't seem, so we paid them and we kind of moved on. But.
Yeah, I mean, they were documented, and it talked about the fee for each of the individual cases. Kelly, I don't know if you remember that, but we did go through it.
Yeah, Jack, I think we actually had a special meeting because they kind of gave us a deadline on doing it. But I think, like you said, I think it was December when we paid it. But it just coincided with the changing of the guard, you know, that first week of December. But yeah, that's when it was. And it was like all of a sudden that bill appeared and, you know, we got verification and we acted on it.
Right. We did not pay it at the original deadline. We paid it after we saw the bill and went through it. You know, I'm not saying there was anything wrong with it. I'm just trying to, again, understand this process so we don't get in this situation again. You know, it seemed as though for a long time it worked fairly well with the office staff basically handling this, not the authority. Well, the authority only was concerned with, you know, looking at this and making sure we were on track.
But Mr. Chair, well, theoretically, you should recoup those funds when those lawsuits are.
Yeah, absolutely. But that would be up to Rich now to collect those, right?
That would be my point. If those fees are related to the 26 files that have been turned over, I mean, some of those fees, I have no idea what this is, so I'm speculating. Some of those fees could be related to matters that have been fully paid, and there are no files on those at this point that were turned over. So, but to Mark's point, if a matter goes forward and goes to judgment, we would be recouping our fees and our costs related to it, and we would be using finance, the finance department, to tell us what fees have been incurred on a particular matter, if they were incurred by Vin's firm, for example.
All right, so I would think the next step then would be for Brian to send you a copy of that bill, so you could see what was on there compared to what you've got, correct?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah. But more importantly, you know, we're going to, I won't speak to the Marcy part of this. I'll leave that to Brian to talk about how that particular function is going to be dealt with. But, you know, we're perfectly prepared to collect the monies that are due on the files that have been turned over to Vin, and we'll make a decision on new files as we see them.
All right, so Brian, now I will turn to you because, again, as things stand now, Marcy's position is not going to exist, okay? So how is this going to work going forward?
All right, so going forward, we're going to break up Marcy's responsibilities and give them to the groups that are already performing those tasks, right? So accounts payable has all been moved into the accounts payable function for the city. The collections is all moving under the new tax collector. And, you know, Serge, who's currently doing that role, will report to her. And she knows that whole team has to do WPCA collections. As far as the specifically around lien sales, right, we have talked about selling liens for the city. We're holding off. I wanted to get the new tax collector's opinion and perspective. Obviously, she's got a lot more experience at it. And you know, and she said, I want to implement some of my best practices that she's utilized over the years for collections before we go to the sell the tax lien. And I'm perfectly happy to give her a few months here to kind of get settled in and come up with a plan for that. You know, that said, we've got some big targets for next year. We've got a lot of outstanding tax liens, right? I mean, not just the cream of the crop that we typically sold to Tower for par value, as Richard said, but there's a lot of other ones where I think more difficult decisions are going to have to be made, whether those are foreclosures or whatever have you, that we need to regroup and decide. And I, you know, I'm happy to own that process and make those decisions like Marcy was doing. I wish Anna was here, you know, and I think between her and I, we'll have to just figure out if that's the right, you know, if I am the right person or if she wants to take a larger role or responsibility. But between the two of us, it will be one of us. And, you know, that will take care of that piece of it. I think we're going to hire a coordinator in the highway department that's going to basically do all of your administrative functions that is in the budget that should be passed, that it's approved, that could get hired July 1. And I think at that point, you know, all the budgeting, forecasting, reporting, you know, I'm going to take care of and give to you. And we started working on that with Ed. We're getting the budget. The budget will be ready pretty soon. Marcy was grateful, or, you know, showed up today to help out for things. Cause again, there was just never any transition after she left. So all that knowledge, everything just was gone. And Sonia was reaching out, looking for some money that we owe them. So she walked me through that process, showed me some of her files, gave us some of her contacts at Aquarian, so we could start to get some more consumption reporting. And she offered to be a resource, you know, to help do, you know, a little bit more of an actual transition, which will be great. But I think what you should feel that I'm your point person, you know, for questions to run things. And then I will work with the teams throughout. And that could include Richard. That can include any of the other lawyers, Mr. Cirillo, you know, whomever we need to, so that you don't have to be fielding questions or making those decisions.
I really don't want to spend time at our meetings. We're policy, not day to day. Okay, so I want to stay away from the day to day as much as well. Before I make any other comments, Kelly or Charlie, do you want to add anything to this or ask questions? I've been monopolizing everyone's time here, and I got to stop doing it.
Jack, Charlie Sampson. So I just have two things. And Rich, I think I'm pretty good on this, and it's good to see you again, sir.
Good to see you, Charlie.
Once the WPCA liens are put into that tax lien sale, then any work that was done prior to that tax lien sale, we would have to technically pay the corporation counsel for, because it hasn't come to fruition.
Well, so let me say this. If if a decision is made on the city side and on the WPCA side to go with a bulk sale, we'll be fashioning a document, an agreement, and we'll deal with the costs and expenses in that agreement. Hopefully we can get those directly when the taxes are paid. And then it's up to the buyer to go forward of the liens. And when they're doing their collection process, they would tack those costs on in their action for collection. You would have a filing fee, a marshal's fee, a title search fee. Perhaps they've gotten as far in some of these having an appraisal fee and plus attorney's fees. So all those fees would have to be dealt with. You're not going to just sell liens when you're doing collection activities and not deal with those costs. We're going to recoup those costs in some fashion.
Okay, because I obviously sitting on the board of Alderman, Alderwomen, I was involved in the recognition go to tower for the tax lien sale, and this information wasn't brought forward at the time. So I'm kind of, when they brought up the fact that they had a $27,000 bill from Attorney Marino, I probably should have questioned it back then. That these fees should have been incorporated in that.
I don't know, Charlie, what that bill is for.
I don't either. So
So we're just speculating.
Right.
I heard Jack say it. That sounded. I heard Mark say there was something else going. The bottom line is neither one of us have seen the bill. If the bill is file related to files that are presently outstanding, open files, then we'll try to work those fees and costs in to collect at the appropriate time. If they're fees that have been incurred in collection efforts that have been successful, then in all likelihood, those fees would have been tacked on to the WPCA lien number. Okay.
Okay.
And then if the third component is, are some of those fees attributable to the lien sale? They may have done some kind of an apportionment. If they sold WPCA liens, as Jack suggested, which makes sense. If you're selling tax liens, you're going to sell the secondary lien for the WPCA. You don't want to deal with that. You're going to sell that too. If you're doing that, they may have apportioned in some fashion the fees related to the transactional fees. Because remember, when you're doing this, it's almost like doing a closing. You don't have all those costs and expenses for the files that you haven't put in suit, but you do have some fee doing contracts, doing the assignments, running title searches and those things. And those are going to be recouped. The city is going to pay for those in some fashion. And so there may have been included in that $27,000 a portion that was attributable to the WPCA portion of the lien sale. I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure Brian can send me the bill. I'll take a look at it.
Excellent. And the only other request that I would have on behalf of this committee, and I'm just brand new at it, but I'm sure Attorney Cirillo is doing a great job. And by the numbers that he showed us today, he's doing a great job. I would just ask that you, Rich, and Attorney Cirillo get together and maybe quarterly provide an update or whatever you determine would be in the best interest of this committee to see where these still outstanding files are at, just so we have an idea of what we still have outstanding that we're looking, that the city is actively looking to collect.
Yeah, I think that's a great practice, because I don't know anything about the files that Attorney Cirillo is handling. I don't know how many of them are actually in suit. I don't know how many are payment plans. I don't know anything. So it would be helpful for the two of us to catch up.
Yeah, I totally agree. It'll be very helpful. Yeah. And everything's computerized in my office, so it's not that difficult to access a file, determine its status, and where we're going with it.
Yeah. Attorney Cirillo, is that a Radio Shack TRS-80 you're using, or?
No, just because I'm electronically challenged, leave me alone. I'm just a valley boy. You can't expect too much more from me, okay?
No. Great job.
Thank you.
Jack, one last comment I'm going to make, and obviously I'll leave it up to this board. When we did the tower deal and we did the tax lien sale, a list of all liens to be sold was given to the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, so that we could question or raise our concerns about specific ones if necessary. I'm just kind of in this process that's being put in place. I'm kind of wondering, moving forward, if there is a WPCA tax lien that needs to be collected and or is to be sold, should this committee look at those and raise any concerns that we have prior to them moving forward?
Rich, I'll let you answer that.
Well, it's always good for input. I will tell you, this is, there are even some tax collectors who are sometimes stunned by this, but the statute actually says let me see if I can find the actual language. Any municipality by resolution of its legislative body may assign for consideration any and all liens filed by, the tax collector or collector of sewage system. Connection and use charges to secure unpaid sewage connection and or use charges as provided under the chapter. So the only approval that is actually necessary, and there's a similar statute that you probably dealt with, Charlie, when you were on the board, for tax lien sales under Title 12, where it had to go to the Board of Aldermen. The mayor couldn't do it. The tax collector couldn't do it. And the WPCA can't do it. It has to go to the legislative body for the city, and that's the Board of Aldermen. So they actually make that decision. So I'm sure the board would want to see the list. They would want to have input, and I'm sure they would, I'll, I'm speculating, but I'm pretty certain they would look for input from the WPCA as well.
Yeah, that's where I wasn't looking for us to approve the moving forward, because I am aware of the statute.
Yeah.
What I'm looking at is, you know, if we could see the list prior to it going to the Board of Aldermen, then maybe at their meeting, if we do have a concern that we bring up amongst ourselves, we could address that also with the Board of Aldermen prior to them selling off the tax lien.
Yeah, if they go down that road, if Brian and the administration decides that that's the way to go for maximizing revenue and cutting down the collection time and boosting the collection rate, if they decide to go down that road, then they would probably be working with me, I would assume, to draft the resolution and the various documents, and we could put that together and certainly share that. Yes.
Excellent. I think, Jack, I just think that keeps us in the loop, because like you said, you know, for the last 10 years, we really haven't been, this committee hasn't been in the loop of what was going on. And I think we would see more in if we got a little bit ahead of the game here.
Agreed. Yeah. When it came to those tax lien sales, we were given a report and we were asked to approve it. Okay. But kind of with a gun in our head saying, well, you really have to do it. So I don't think our approval meant anything other than it was, you know, in the minutes that we did approve it. But from my understanding, that approval didn't mean a darn thing. So,
well, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
So just a reminder to the people on the board, I mean, to everybody here, when they did, though, there was a big chunk that was done in 2020. And the idea was that it was supposed to be tax liens that had multiple years. And the agreement was when they updated it, it was supposed to be only new liens that were already approved that had multiple years. So the new things were not, there weren't really that many that were new ones that were sold. Attorney Cirillo was doing it, and then without notice, obviously, it was stopped for whatever reasons. But don't forget, they were the only ones that they approved in the last year or whatever were ones to complete, and they were complete or continue with the list that that tower already had.
There was Mark, the town clerk is correct. I reviewed a couple months ago that particular agreement, and there was an obligation in there to sell future liens to that buyer, or to at least offer it to them. So that's probably what he's referring to.
And the legal fees regarding those cases that are with Tower, that those aren't city legal fees.
Not at all. They're just, not at all.
The other firm.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the firm, but they file what they call a assignment of the liens.
Yes.
So there's on the land records that the liens are assigned from the city to Tower, and that's all done by that firm. So the whole legal expense of selling those liens is minimal around that, and that would not have in the last year or two would never be even be close to $26,000. Probably not even $2,600, because all they did was take the list that the tax collector prepared. So,
we'll see what that bill is for. And I appreciate Mark's comment on that. I would just say that we've done many tax lien sales over the years, our firm, in other municipalities. And what you're talking about is you would incur fees working with the finance department in a particular municipality, working on a request for proposal that would go out. And then once the proposals come in, you would, in the meantime, you would also have title searches done. There's notice that has to be given. The statutes have been changed over the last few years to add all sorts of requirements now on the buyer's behalf that have to be worked into the contract for sale. They have to, they're obligated to do all sorts of things. So there would be a contract. It's just like a closing. or a business transaction. You have a document, an agreement that's going to cover all this. Mark is right. You have a list of liens that are going to be assigned. You have an assignment document that you prepare. All the liens, you know, they're usually a schedule attached to the assignment document. All of that is done. You provide, you know, the money comes in from the buyer, and you provide them with an assignment that they record on the land records. And from that time on, the fees and costs of collection, that's their obligation, which is why I made that comment before, Jack. When we do the agreement, you try to recapture your fees, right, costs as part of the purchase price that you incurred. So, I mean, and it's literally, instead of having years dealing with, you know, property in some cases in terms of foreclosure, it can happen very quickly where you can get a municipality can get a quick bump, if you will, in the collection rate and produce a great deal of cash. So that's I'm just throwing that out there, but we'll see what that bill is and try to figure it out, because if any of those liens are going to be sold, we would want to recoup that.
All right. So you have any questions?
Jack, I was just looking through some old minutes or some of the old paperwork from our meetings. It appears that we made a motion to pay that bill. It was a special meeting on 12/12/23.
Sounds about right.
And that was a special meeting that we had. So that was before our regular meeting. I think that was, like I said, right after the changing of the guards. So I think if we needed to find that bill, we would probably find it in, I haven't gone back far enough, but I think we're going to find that in our November minutes.
Yeah, it was. It came in November.
Yeah. So if that's any help to anybody to be able to find it, Brian or whoever.
I don't think it's going to be a problem to find it. I'll track it down and get that out to everyone so we have it.
Rich, if I could just ask you, you would say all new stuff, new bills, you were going to look over before you handed them off. Do you mean new from this stage forward, or do you mean this 26, the list of 26 that you have?
Well, we're holding the 26. I mean, the 26 came in here. We're going to work those files.
Okay.
If decisions are made, Kelly, on future, you know, put them in collection, start a foreclosure. I'm going to review those and decide whether we should do them or perhaps send them somewhere else.
Okay. I just didn't understand when you said it, but I mean, you people have been very informative tonight. Kind of cleared me out a little bit, you know, just trying to understand this. So I thank you for that.
Well, it's our pleasure. And hey, look, there's a lot of stuff that we weren't even aware of Attorney Cirillo in these files. That was somewhat of a surprise to us when we learned of that.
Well, Rich, I'm very familiar with James Cirillo because I had to go down to East Haven and make a payment that I got way behind on my WPCA about 10 years ago. So,
listen, let me see if I can sum this up so I understand where we're going, not just where we've been, but where we're going. Based on what Brian has talked about as the restructuring within the finance and tax department. But first, one quick question. It's my understanding that once this is given to the attorney, that all communication at that point is not with WPCA. Okay, I'm talking about from the homeowner, that their communication goes to the lawyer, not to WPCA. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page with that. And under the new structure, okay, the actions that Marcy used to take, including setting up payment schedules, is now going to be done by the tax collector. Brian, can you say if I'm right or wrong on that?
Yeah, I will say it's me right now because Anna's not here. I'm not going to give it to her to do. But I think my next steps is to, you know, Richard, you let me know when you're ready to speak to this. Attorney Cirillo will, between us and then Anna, we'll get together, we'll go through the list, we'll talk about what are the next steps, who's doing what, get a plan together,
And then at that point, I'll have had a chance to talk with Anna and get to the specifics around things like payment plans and tracking, which, you know, maybe it's done in her group, maybe it's done in my group. But I think either way, I will be the point person to represent finance and in this committee as far as what are we doing, who's doing it, you know, to answer your questions.
All right, now, if there is a payment plan, that does not go to the attorney, correct? It goes to the attorney after they decide this payment plan is not working.
Right, yeah, typically you give them a chance, and then if they fall behind, then you would give it back to the attorney.
Okay, all right. And then we have one now where, and I don't want to go into too much detail, but basically there was a payment plan set up. They didn't pay. It's Attorney Cirillo has it now, and this client, this homeowner, has written asking to restart the payment that they dropped, and they didn't communicate that until they were ready to come back. They did pay their city taxes, though. They didn't pay WPCA. What do we do with that?
So in that case, I'll talk with Attorney Bertolo about it, and we'll figure out if it makes sense to try to do a payment plan with them or do something different.
Okay, so we don't have to get involved with this.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, and then my last thing is, you know, I think Attorney Cirillo has done a great job for us down through the years. So, Rich, you know, you have the ultimate decision, and I understand that, but I would ask you to take into consideration the great job that they've done for us. And there is a question I do have related to this. What role do we have in fees, or the fees, whatever you're charging the city? Because Attorney Cirillo talked about a fee of $150 an hour. What about your firm's fees?
Our firm's fees are $200 an hour, approved by the city.
Okay, so again, we don't have any say in any of that because we're going to get our money one way or the other, correct?
Yes.
Okay. But again, I would urge you to consider it's not in our hands, but you know, I believe in loyalty. When people have done a good job for you, you try and reward them. Yet I understand that's not our call. So I'm just being upfront with that, okay? Are we all on the same page? That's the bottom line here.
Yeah, I think Attorney Cirillo needs to negotiate a raise.
Easy, Joe, easy.
Is 25 cents an hour too much?
Look, I appreciate everybody coming together because all this stuff it's insane. Okay, there should be procedures in place that everyone understands and everyone follows. And I think tonight we took the step to getting that restored. So I really do appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, sorry. I get more than my 2 cents, but it's probably worth more than Attorney Cirillo's technology. So I'll try to give you your money's worth. But the truth is, there are procedures in place. They were in place for many years. They just were not followed. And I don't want to go backwards. But just in a forward say, I just want to concur with the point that we really never had any problems or complaints about the way Attorney Cirillo handled these matters.
No, I said, well, I think he's done an excellent job.
I just concur.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that we don't have these issues. Look, I've been going crazy for the last couple of months. I mean, this is getting insane. Okay. Well, it really is. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know who to talk to or what. I get reports from all over the place, complaints. This streamlines it. We know where it's going. That's why I just tried to lay out those steps. I'm fine with that.
And just to say, too, I mean, prior to Attorney Bertolo taking over, courtesy from the city, Attorney Cirillo should have been treated with more respect for his years of service to the city.
Well, again, not from the WPCA. We do respect it. Okay.
No, I understand, but yeah. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and again, Brian, I would hope that we go back, and I know you're working on this. This is what our authority needs to see on a regular basis to assess whether we're staying on track with payments or not. Okay. And I know you've been working on it. I met with you and the tax collector, and I know you've been tremendously cooperative. This will be a big step forward if we can get all this done. So That's my last comment.
And I think we've got this. I think we've got this report pretty much nailed down. I know we looked at it. We were concerned about the collection rates. I still think they're a little bit light. Maybe not as bad as what we saw, but there are operational issues going on for sure. You know, between the new that got set up, the staff there that you know is challenged. So. There's a lot to do, and you know, I think when I took over, you know, this idea of okay, kind of more out of desperation than anything else, because bills weren't getting paid, you know, nobody could answer any questions, everything had just, you know, to your point, Jack, just completely falling apart, and it was really more of look, I'm gonna step in and do this and help out. And figure it out, because somebody had to, and it just, you know, we just weren't going to find another Marcy. Unfortunately, she was great and she did everything, but we had to come up with a different plan to go forward, or you know, that would you have no power right now at your plant because the bills wouldn't have been paid. So,
right, and all these issues at that point, those are staff issues. That's not for volunteers. That's my whole point. We're going to get back to everything.
No, I agree. But the problem was the staff was one person, and right. She left. Right. So, you know. Right.
So, and that's one thing we're all on.
So, at least now at least when there be, yeah, we'll spread it around. If one person leaves, it doesn't all fall apart. You know, maybe one piece, but hopefully at that point, somebody else can pick up the slack, and it's not, yeah, again, all in one person's control.
Well, I'm anxious to get to the end of the line on that. But again, I appreciate everyone taking the time tonight. I think we all have a clearer understanding. And let's see how this plays out over the next couple of months. And maybe we'll get back once more to make sure it stays on track. So with that, members of the committee, I think a motion to adjourn might be in order.
Jack, did you want to do, you had some?
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
For the budget.
We just lost Brian. Oh no, Brian, I put on there working out this schedule. How many meetings do you think we need to get this budget done?
I think we'll have a preliminary budget. Let's say we could get it done in no more than 2 weeks, right? That'd be the latest.
Because we have to schedule the meeting. Would you think it'd be two meetings, and then we have to have the public hearing?
Yeah, I think two meetings is probably the max you're going to need. City, I think, got it done in two meetings. So WPCK, and then we'll set the public hearing. So
our meeting, the final meeting is on May 15th. I would suggest that we hold the first budget meeting on April 24th, with a potential second meeting on May 1st, public hearing on either the 8th or the 15th. Mark, I'm going to ask you for some help with this. If we have a workshop and we advertise it, can we approve the preliminary budget at a workshop and then hold a public hearing in a regular meeting on the same day?
Yes, but I mean, there's no such thing as a workshop. It's either a regular meeting.
I'm talking about that's the only thing. I should have called it a special meeting, but we all
a budget that. Meeting. Yeah, you could have the public hearing and the other thing at the same time, as long as it's noticed properly.
Okay, so again, we're going to shoot then that the public hearing would be prior to the regular meeting on the 15th. We'll schedule our first special meeting for the 24th, and then we've got the 1st and the 8th if we need additional special meetings. Kelly and Charlie, you okay with that?
I'll make my schedule work.
Okay, great. Okay, now we can have a motion to adjourn.
Go ahead, Charles.
Oh, I will make a motion that we adjourn. And I'd also like to thank the attorneys for joining us tonight, and Brian for all the information.
Kelly, you're seconding that?
Second it, yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, abstain. We're adjourned. Okay, Mark,
thank you,
turn
all.
Off the recording. Thank you all, everybody.
Good night, gentlemen. Nice speaking with you.
Take care. All right.